Well, another new year, and I'm sure that once again across the country, last weekend saw a flurry of New Year's resolutions. I saw one survey published this week. Some of the most common resolutions for 2017, see if you can see yourself here at all. They're the usual ones, mostly the usual ones. Cut down on alcohol. 12% are going to do that. Learn a new skill, learn a new skill or hobby. 15% are going to do that. Lose weight. 33% are going to do that. And I suspect that may be closely connected to eat better. 32% are going to do that. So there's 1% of people are going to lose weight without eating better. That's very interesting. And of course, what has come top of the list for the umpteenth year in a row? Exercise more. 33% of the population of this country are going to exercise more in 2017. So no surprises there. All things which people know they should do anyway. Ways in which people know that their lives aren't quite as they should be. There's another interesting one on the list, just around the sort of 12% said this. Spend more time on personal well-being. Interesting. It's a bit vague, admittedly. I'm not sure whether personal well-being does involve standing looking slightly vacant, staring up in the sky with your eyes closed. But it just highlights for me the fact that for many people, there is this kind of awareness that life isn't all that it should be or all that it could be. We want our lives to be fulfilled, but somehow we know that they aren't. Something's missing. We need to spend some time trying to do something about that, but how on earth do you do it? Just about every year for the last decade or more now, we've started the year at Christchurch with a key verse, something that will give some direction to what we do during the year. Hopefully you've got at least one of these cards stashed away already, which has got our verse for this year on it. And in the middle of that verse, there is that wonderful reference to lives being fruitful. You will bear much fruit. What a great thing. I'm the vine, you're the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. And that bearing fruit, that has got to be something that we all want for 2017, isn't it? To bear fruit, to be fulfilled, for life to have that kind of meaning and significance, to be able to make a difference. So how is it going to happen? Let's listen to the passage where Jesus talked about that. Sheila's going to come and read for us.
The reading is taken from John chapter 15, verses 1 to 8. It can be found on page 1083. The vine and the branches. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me, and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me, and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. This is the word of the Lord.
I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. I think just in that verse, Jesus tells us what it means to be fruitful. He warns us about how we can miss out on being fruitful. And he tells us what we need to do to make sure we are fruitful. So, what does it mean to be fruitful? What does God want to be doing in your life and my life this year? I guess there could be many answers to that, and many of them legitimate. But it's worth looking to see what Jesus actually says here. So there in verse 8, this is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourself to be my disciples. If you were to go back just a page to John 13:35. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. So if you kind of put those two, parallel those two together, how do you show that you're disciples? Well, A, by bearing much fruit. B, by loving one another. So the kind of fruit that Jesus is looking for, that he's talking about here, seems to me to be love. Particularly, loving one another. See, the same connection just a bit later in John 15. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. This is my command, love each other. So although there are many ways in which our lives as Christians should be fruitful, Jesus here seems to be highlighting one particular thing. Love for other Christians, our love for one another. And of course, I guess that most of us have heard that so many times before. You can't go through a couple of months of sermons here without somebody pointing out to you that we're supposed to love one another. But I was saying this morning, I figure that the fact that Jesus kind of highlighted it has two significant meanings. Well, two significant things about it. If Jesus needed to highlight this, firstly, it really is important. And secondly, it really doesn't come naturally. Because the sort of love which Jesus is talking about is that, that kind of wonderful love you read about in the Bible. But it's a love that is costly. It's often inconvenient. It is a love that pushes you out of your comfort zone. It means you get close to people you would not normally have anything to do with. You see, it's dead easy to get along with those you get along with. We all do it. What makes this so radical, so countercultural, is that it involves getting on with those you don't get on with. And it involves doing a lot more than just getting on with them. And of course, the problem is that God, in his wonderful wisdom, has bunged such an odd group of people together to make up his church. Feel free to have a look around, and you'll see what I mean. We're not all the same as each other. We wouldn't all naturally gravitate towards each other. But God has put us together and then said, okay, you guys love each other. And in 2017, we need to be growing in that. We want to be growing disciples. And that means growing. It means we want to be growing disciples among our children and young people. It's just so important. We want to be helping those who are new Christians to grow in their faith. And if we love others in the church, we want to support them when they're struggling. And we need to sort of up our game maybe in terms of our pastoral care. We're planning on running a pastoral care course. You can see details in the newsletter. Just to help, not all of us obviously, but help some of us to become more equipped to just pastor one another that way. But love is not something that just some of us should be doing. We all need to find ways. How are we going to show love? How are we going to love one another? Get stuck in a home group. Make sure you get to know the other people here in church, not just your little group. Pray for one another. So important. Use the prayer diary. Look for ways in which you can be serving. Debbie's going to be talking about that next Sunday. But let's do what we can to just facilitate that growth of love. Being disciples involves being fruitful. The fruit that God's looking for is love in all of our relationships. And as that fruit grows, what a great place Christ Church will be to be part of. Your life can be genuinely fulfilled. It can be fruitful as you play your part in that. So that's the kind of fruit God, I think, wants to see your life producing this year. But of course, it won't just kind of happen. In fact, it is possible to be a disciple and for it not to happen at all. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. That doesn't mean that anyone who's not a Christian can't ever do anything worthwhile. There are many people who do so much good in our world and in our community. But if we're honest, we have to recognize that so often the best that people can do is to kind of put a sticking plaster on the problems. Someone said, the heart of the human problem is the problem of the human heart. And how do you change a human heart? Well, actually, only Jesus can do that. So only Jesus can bring that deep, radical change in someone. So ultimately, without Jesus, we can do nothing. Nothing that's going to be lasting and permanent and deep. Without Jesus, something fundamental will be missing from life. And that all means, actually, that one of the most important things we can be doing this year is to go on helping others find that real life which only Jesus gives. And that's why. That's why I'm hoping that we'll be able to run Life Explored soon. And I thought I had a slide about that, but never mind. It may come up later. Life Explored, just helping us, helping people to understand the difference that Jesus makes. It does just look such a good course. Such a great way of just opening up the good news. And it may be that you know somebody who you think, oh yeah, I'd really like to take them along to that. It may just be that you think, I could do with a refresher course myself. We're hoping to run it. We can only do it, obviously, if there's enough people want to do it. So if you think there's something you might be interested in, do please let me know. It's kind of all part of our vision of making disciples. And of course we do that not because we want to get more bums on pews, but because we do love people. We want others to have those fulfilled and fruitful lives. But of course when Jesus first said this, he wasn't inviting others to join him, but saying it to those who already were his disciples. Because, you see, it is possible to have become a disciple and still be unfruitful. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. So yes, what God wants for you in 2017 is for you to be fruitful. But there are things that could prevent a Christian from being fruitful. And when that happens, if you do not remain in me, you're like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire and burned. And that pretty definitely is not what any of us want for our lives in 2017, and it definitely isn't what God wants for us. God's purpose is for us to be fruitful. So he warns us that it's possible not to be fruitful. So we need to see, okay, so if it's possible to end up being unfruitful and just being a waste of space and wasting my life, what do I need to do in order to be fruitful? I'm the vine. You are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you remain in me and I in you. It's interesting because what it means is that this fruit of love won't come because we try harder. It will be produced naturally as we remain in Jesus. And conversely, if we don't remain in Jesus, we can work and work and just get tired and achieve nothing but frustration. So getting to grips with what it actually means to remain in Jesus is a pretty important thing. And I have to say, I used to think that to remain was basically a pretty passive thing. Yeah. I remain in England as long as I don't make the effort to get up and go somewhere else. It's kind of a default position. So once I've become a Christian, I will remain in Jesus as long as I don't actively go away from him. But over the last couple of weeks, I have completely rethought that. Because along with a third of the population of this country, as the new year dawned, I joined in. I decided that I needed more exercise. It can be a bit of a sedentary life, being a vicar, all that sitting around, drinking endless cups of tea with people. So I fired up the old Wii Fit, and I did discover a very sad truth. This will probably surprise you looking at me, but I'm not as fit as I thought I was. I'm not as fit as I used to be. And this is the thing. I can honestly say that I have not done anything to make myself become unfit. But without me doing anything, it's just happened. It's really frustrating. So that means that I know that if I do get my fitness levels up, and my target at the moment is to be able to bend down and touch my knees, and possibly after that I'm going on to doing a press-up. But even if I manage to achieve all that lot, I know very well it'll all go wrong again the moment I stop exercising. Yeah, for me, getting fit is just the first part of the job. It is staying fit that's the big problem. And I think that remaining in Jesus is like that. It is anything but passive. It isn't the kind of case of you put your trust in the Lord Jesus and then tick that box and that's it, sorted. It's just not like that. Look what Jesus says in verse 7. If you remain in me and my words remain in you. It's like this vine image. It's as though Jesus is saying that it's his words which are kind of like the sap which flow through the branches and enable them to be fruitful. And the more I've thought about it, I think specifically it's referring to the gospel. We need constantly to be remembering what God has done for us through Jesus. Phil was absolutely right what he was saying earlier on. You know, we need to just keep remembering God's love. We need to keep remembering what God's done for us. We need to keep remembering what Paul says in Ephesians. Before we were Christians, we were without hope and without God in the world. And now it's different. Everything in the life of discipleship should stem from the glorious truth that God has given us life. And I think remaining in Jesus fundamentally involves just keeping being reminded of that. Not just kind of hearing gospel sermons over and over again, but just understanding the whole of the Bible is the gospel. One of the things I just so much enjoyed, and I know others of you joined in with the reading the one true story in the run-up to Christmas. And just fabulous seeing the way that you can go into the Old Testament and it tells you about the gospel and it shows you God's love and God's grace and you're reminded again of how wonderful God is and how amazing what he's done is. And it's a real challenge for me as a preacher, just thinking this through and thinking how much time do I spend just reminding all of us of the gospel, of the good news, of what God's done for us in Jesus. Because to remain in Jesus and to have his words remain in us involves being reminded from the whole of the Bible and just having our lives constantly shaped and reshaped and reshaped by the gospel. Over the years of my ministry, I think one of the sadnesses One of the most disappointing things has been to see people who've become Christians and have been fired up and excited by it all, but then a few years later, it's kind of all gone. And over the 25 years that I've been in ordained ministry, very, very rarely is that because those people have chosen to turn away from Jesus. But I think what happens is what this verse talks about. You become a Christian, and you're so thrilled at what God's done for you that you love him and you want to serve him and you get stuck in with serving him. And then little by little you find that actually it's the serving him that's really taking up your heart, and you start to forget about what God's done for you. And you neglect your relationship with him because actually you're finding serving him and doing the stuff fulfilling. And finally, doing the stuff isn't really serving him, it's just doing the stuff. And after a time, it's not fulfilling anymore. It stops being fruitful. You keep on doing it, but the love isn't there anymore. You end up spending half your time moaning about things. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. But apart from me, you can do nothing. It's as God's words remain in us, as we understand more of the depth of his love and his grace, that we will actually naturally begin to treat others as he has treated us. If we remain in him, if that growth is happening in our relationship with him, it will spill over and we will be fruitful. But without that, love will just be something we try to do in our own strength, and we will fail and become jaded in our discipleship. And if honestly you are thinking, sounds a bit like me at the moment, Life Explored would just be such a good way of getting back on track. And as we remain in him, there is one more great promise in this passage. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As we remain in Jesus, feeding on his word, letting his word go deep into us, letting the gospel shape our minds and our hearts and all that we are, what really matters to us will increasingly be the things that really matter to God. And those things will then dominate our prayers, and we will pray, and we will pray because we want God's glory. So this year, 2017, will be a time when we just need to go on growing in prayer. Debbie's got some great ideas of things we're going to be doing, something specifically in Lent. Later in the year, the archbishops have called the whole church to prayer for the 10 days between Ascension and Pentecost. But you don't have to wait until Ascension Day, because we've got prayer meeting on Wednesday, so you can start then. I'm the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. So God's purpose in 2017 for you as an individual, for us as a church, is to be fruitful. So don't be like me with my lost fitness or something like that. We're only 8 days in. It's nearly the start of the new year. What a great way to start a new year. Just tonight, give yourself anew to remaining in Jesus, growing in your knowledge and love of him, feeding on his word, just being encouraged and strengthened. And then just see what God can do through you this year.